Today's episode is brought to you by the Second City's Harold Ramis Film School. Love comedy and filmmaking? The Harold Ramis Film School's year-long program at Second City is for you. Visit ramisfilmschool.com for more info. Folks, we're going to keep it short today. Here's the episode.
Hi, folks. My name's Tim Dunn. I'm one of the three hosts of this show. This is not my normal speaking voice. I have a cold. I'm breathing into a microphone, too. That makes me wonder if I'm just getting the germs into the Cards Against Humanity microphones.
Well, I'll tell you this, Tim. Okay. And folks at home, my name's Colin Tarrant. I'm one of the other hosts.
Yeah, yeah. This is a video game podcast.
This is a video game podcast recorded here in Chicago.
Yeah.
Tim, there are enough germs in this space that I think you're probably going to be healthier leaving the space than leaving the germs here.
I can't believe I haven't gotten sick from this place before, come to think of it.
Well, I mean, that's how the parasite works. It gets in your mind, and you think that you're not sick, but instead it's feeding off of you that way.
I see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We do this podcast about video games with our comedian friends and sometimes developers in the Chicago area. And here's a fun fact.
Very fun fact, folks.
I don't want to oversell it. It's a fact. How about let's just start out baseline.
It's a fact.
It's a fact about it. We don't. You might think it's fun or not.
I think true fans of the show are going to think it's fun. But maybe that's me assuming something. So it's just a fact. Yeah.
Kellen.
Yeah.
You are not one of the original hosts of the show.
I'm not. No, no, no.
It was originally just me and this other scruffy gentleman named Clayton.
Gentleman
smokes weed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Crotchety.
Crotchety.
So you originally got introduced to the show. You were a guest.
I was a guest. I came on. I started talking about Skyrim.
Kellen was a guest on the show. And he came on. He talked about Skyrim. And then we were like, oh, we really like this guy. We should just have him on a bunch more times.
And that was it was nice because it was nice to come on the podcast and get to know you guys via the podcast. But it was also nice because you would give me a text message being like, hey, we're going to record in an hour. Can you come on? You can talk about anything.
Yeah. And then I went to go perform sketch comedy on the ocean for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And you took over the hosting duties.
Oh, I did.
Yes.
I did.
And then when I came back, I got to be a guest on my own show.
Exactly, which was a special day for you.
But Kellen.
Yes.
You know who's never been a guest on this show?
Barack Obama.
Oh, yes. And he's from Chicago,
He is from Chicago.
So he has no excuse.
He has zero excuse.
I guess in that sense, too, Michelle Obama. I mean, let's not get greedy.
No. But, I mean, they're definitely not a pair. But I'm assuming we're going to talk to Michelle when she finally admits she's going to run for office.
I hope she breaks that.
Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Clayton. Clayton's never been a guest on the show.
Yes, he has never been a guest on this show.
And he just walked through the door a moment ago.
Like most guests would.
That's
showing
correct.
Up a little later than usual.
Like most guests would.
Yes.
That is correct.
Yes. Clayton, thanks for coming on the show today.
Hey,
thanks for being our guest today.
Yeah. Guys, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm a big fan of the show.
No. But had you heard about the show before we asked you?
That's, you know what? I had. That's probably better than most of our guests.
Clayton.
No, I am very excited for this. Yeah.
We always start the same way, and that is, what are we playing?
Oh.
What are you playing?
Boy, I wish I'd known you were going to ask this type of question ahead of time. I just got really hardcore back into Dark Souls 3 and played it a ton.
What a coincidence. Both of us did too for some reason.
Huh, very strange.
Was it at like the insistence of like a great friend?
I'll say this, folks. We've been doing the show for a while, and when Clayton emails you saying you got to play this game, I mean, that's showing an effort on Clayton's part that it's like, well, we got to do this, I guess.
Yes.
I mean, it's really... I'll get more into it later, but I like Dark Souls 3 a lot. I like it better than 2. I still prefer... I think the original Dark Souls is probably like one of the best games, if not the best game.
But Bloodborne is your jam.
And Bloodborne is like way up there too. I love me some Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. I think that pulls off so many great things. But Dark Souls 3, in replaying it, I've been sort of like trying to be a little scrappier and doing things more like I would in, say, Bloodborne.
Sure, yeah.
And it is so fun, so satisfying. And so I'm having a ball with it right now. And also the community is really active, so a lot of people are playing. So
you
that's
play
been,
on PC though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a very active Souls community in general, but Dark Souls 3, especially with like the DLC that just came out, mm-hmm. super popular right now again. So I'm just having so much fun doing that. I was doing it right before I came over here. No, I was doing it before I came over here, but then I had to get food. And I can't deal with how crazy and varied every encounter is. Well, I guess this is getting a little bit into the podcast territory.
We're going to talk about Dark Souls today.
Other games I'm playing, Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
Still loving it.
Still loving it.
And a little game called Legend of Heroes.
We don't need to talk about that. We don't need to even touch on that.
You chose to talk about Dark Souls today.
But yeah, what about you guys? Huh? What are you guys playing?
Yeah, Tim,
huh?
you were stuck in an airport in Orlando.
Yes. Yeah.
And did you play any games while you were there?
Boys, I got back in 80 days. Was
hey, that's a good game to play while stuck traveling.
I wandered across the lost city of Atlantis, which was cool. I'd never found that before.
Never found that. Wow, that's great. Tim, you take as much time as you need. You do sound like you're very sick. I want to let the people know that Tim's lower baritone voice is, in fact, real.
There is blood coming out of my ears. Yes. I hope you guys are okay with that. No.
I've fainted so many times since I came in the door.
But yeah, I'm gonna have, if you can hear the cough drop in my mouth, that's just gonna be happening. Yeah, played some 80 days, but the rest of the week, just Dark Souls 3, and it's been wonderful.
Very
Kellen?
Nice.
But you can't do online play.
I don't care for it.
You choose not to do online
play. I choose not
to. Okay.
Yes. Well, even if you were playing with your buddies, like you're like, I don't, not these two.
You
I don't
more than
need
anyone needs to listen
seems
to this
complicated.
Episode.
Seems complicated.
Complicated.
No.
It's
yes,
so easy.
It is complicated. It's overly complicated for what it is. I will admit that. But
sure.
It's totally worth it.
I don't know. Maybe I'll figure it out at some point. Right. Plus, I got to pay, like, what, $12 a month? Ugh.
$12 a month? What
is
service
that for
are you
PSN?
Talking about? No. It's $40 a year.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I'll pick it up for Christmas.
Yeah. Lisa. I mean,
yeah,
Lisa. Tim, I'll get it for you if you need it. And I have a child.
Oh, I can't accept that.
No, you need to.
I accept.
That's how much we need you to play games with us.
I've already spent $60 on the game itself, which I already owned, so I could play it on PS4 with you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
So come on, Tim.
Come on, Tim.
Meet me halfway here.
It
I'll
would
look literally
into it.
Be 60-40.
Yes.
I'll look into it. Plus, you get free games with the PSN.
Yes,
right?
You do. Some fun games. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
So, thanks, good. Guys, I took a little vacation last Friday. I got in an airplane and I flew across this United States to the land of Aloha, brought to me by the wonderful people at Nintendo with the Pokemon game.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay.
Yes. This game is, you know how you, so the land in Dark Souls, Clayton, what is it called?
Like, what do you mean?
Where are you when you're in Lothric?
It depends on which game. But yeah, Lothric.
Yes. In Dark Souls 3.
Yeah, in Dark Souls 3, yeah.
Terrible place of suffering.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. Aloha, the land you landed in Pokemon, Sun and Moon. It's wonderful.
Oh, it's out.
It is. It got it on Friday. It arrived at my house on Friday, and I played Pokemon Sun exclusively this weekend. Taking time away from playing
your real son.
No. Oh, I played it with my real son. That's
that's cool. That's great.
I played it
Pokemon
with him.
Son with real
with,
son.
With my real son. he got a cat up my on my lap. He's like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm playing Pokemon." And like, you can like feed the Pokemon things and pet them, and then like showing him basic battle stuff. And he was very, very entertained by it, which I really liked.
Do they use the weird like blowing on the screen mechanic?
No.
Emblem
Wait,
did
what?
That.
Yeah.
Fire Emblem Awakening, whatever the most recent one
was.
Yeah. The one that's like three games all different. It was a weird release, but that game, your wife or whoever can sometimes like if you go to your house. she'll be like, oh, I just took a bath and like my face is all hot. And it's like, oh, you should like blow on your wife's face to cool it. And I'm like, absolutely not interested in doing
not
this.
Not doing this.
It is very strange. But yeah, you can imagine when Nicole walked in and was like, hey, what you doing?
I'm just blowing on my wife.
Blowing on this this fake wife's face.
It's great. And the reviews are pretty really positive. I had not played a Pokemon game in a little while, and it's a very fun, very simple JRPG that is just really easy and enjoyable to play. It laughs at itself quite a bit, which is great. It's not too like, oh, we're the Pokemon game and we don't think about anything. It's like there are characters in the Pokemon game who know they're in a Pokemon game and just love laughing at themselves for being in it.
Wait, they know they're in a Pokemon game?
Oh yeah, they're like, help get me out of here, Kellen, I'm trapped. You don't realize it, like
I'm liking this.
I don't know how they're able to know that it's me, but you know, for some reason they are.
It's weird. Almost 100% of the characters have said this to me.
Yeah, it's odd. You know, something about coming back in time, the dimension being wrong. I don't know, but I like the game quite a bit.
Trump shouldn't have won.
Should have won. Yeah, something about the timeline being broken.
Yeah, I don't.
Like,
know.
I don't understand that part. Maybe that'll be part of the like the Pokemon mythos later on. Maybe that's what explained
timeline. It's a timeline though. That's so fast.
I don't know how they did it. There are Pokemon that look like Trump, and I had to really not name it Trump because I feel like that normalizes Trump, and that's not what we're doing in America.
We're not
normalizing what Donald Trump is doing.
Which of the cute things did you start
out
with? I
got the little owl guy.
Okay.
I usually go with the leaf-based Pokemon, and I like him because he turned into, and I'm going to pay you a compliment, Clayton, he turned into a handsome, a larger owl who kind of moves his hair out of his face, sometimes like Clayton does, and I'm like,
famous hair toss.
His famous hair toss, but it's mostly because the owl looks like he's high most of the time.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, so that's about it.
Don't know what you're talking about, but...
But then Clayton yesterday sent me an email, and you, Tim, said, hey, we got to play some Dark Souls, so I loaded up Dark Souls again and started playing. And
then I said, oh, I mean by myself.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy.
I can't believe it. I was just like, I don't even know what's going on with this guy. So infuriating. But $40 for the whole year.
I'll look into it.
You absolutely should.
We're talking about Dark Souls today because, you know, Clayton is a big fan of the franchise.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan. I really like him. And I wanted to talk about it at length with you guys.
Yes.
Because there's a lot going on here.
And we've not had a guest that's been into these games, right?
No. As much as I've pushed people to try and talk about it, no one's really taken the bait.
Yeah.
Well, it's a hard game to talk about in some ways, right? Like, it's... Though we were kind of talking before you got here, Clayton, it's like it is. Dark Souls is intimidating to me because the curve of difficulty.
Well, it doesn't do a great job of explaining almost anything about itself.
That's
right?
The point of it, right? that's kind of the point.
That's what you're buying. Yeah.
And in the original Demon Souls, like, so you know, all these games are sort of like a weird kind of genre unto themselves.
Yes.
You know, like you have your Demon Souls, which was the first one, as far as I know. And then that sort of did okay, didn't do super great, but found its sort of really hardcore audience pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then Dark Souls came out, which was supposed to be sort of like a spiritual successor to Demon Souls. I think there was like some sort of switch over in like the studio and distribution rights and that kind of shit.
Sure.
So it's like we couldn't just call it Demon Souls 2. Yeah. Instead, we're gonna like kind of reboot, and it almost feels like an iteration of Demon Souls. It's like okay. Yeah. The Demon Souls idea now is, sort of like taken out and distilled and changed and made into the original Dark Souls, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
It's still, even though I love Bloodborne so much, and I do at times go like, Bloodborne probably is a superior game. Dark Souls was my first introduction to it. So I just got really, really attached to that game.
It's hard to forget your first kiss, man.
And it was the kiss of death.
Clayton? I have to leave in about 5 minutes.
Okay. Tim, you're going to love all this.
Let me weigh in.
Why don't you stick around?
Let me ask you one thing. We were talking about this before we got started. The way you choose to play Dark Souls affects like how well you're going to do with different bosses. Correct? True? False? Because, like, I'm playing a magic guy, and I feel like I am failing at some bosses, but killing it with others.
Yes.
Yeah.
That, I mean, more or less, like, every boss, if you learn their pattern and you learn kind of what their moveset is and what they do, you can pretty much defeat any boss with any build is, like, the, you know, is the short answer. But the long answer is, like, but your skill level needs to be substantially higher in that build with certain bosses because just are a bad match. One of the things about the older games is that the mage build was like easy mode, right?
Yeah.
You could just like stand across the map. Most of the enemies like to get up close, and if they did shoot from far away, their tracking was pretty bad. You could always just step behind a pillar and just step out and shoot again.
Seems like that's not the case anymore.
Not really. No, they changed quite a bit with the mage build for Dark Souls 3, which I think I like more. One of the main things is you have an FP bar, which is like sort of your mana bar type thing. You didn't have that in other games. In the other,
you just got unlimited whatever.
No, you had like you basically could be like, all right, I have Soul Spear equipped, so I can cast 6 Soul Spears before I get to another. You know, I have to go to a bonfire
like
D&D. Restart.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Only the problem was if you equipped like 3 soul spears, you had like 18 to use. It's like, I'll never need all these.
Yeah, yeah.
But you could also like get really powerful magic. And if you attune right, you can have like a ton of spells equipped.
Sure.
And that's when you can just be like, all right, well, I don't need to put into anything except like my whatever my magic damage dealer is and attunement.
Yeah.
And that was it. which is like kind of breaks the game a little bit, you know? It's like, no, it's not. It's supposed to be like about managing your stamina and all this stuff. And that was just out the window with the mage build. So now they've done it. So it's like, okay, you drain mana and then you have your Estus flask and it's split. So one gives you life and the other gives you mana.
Yes. Yeah.
And you can sort of allot it out however you like. And I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. But it also means that, like, oh, the easiness of, like, oh, I'm just going to give myself 3 soul spears and just, like, smash this level apart. It doesn't really work that way anymore. Mm-hmm. For better or worse. But, yeah, it also means that, like, on bosses that, like, want to get up close and personal with you, you can't just have magic.
Yeah,
you
have
to have something else. Either enough, like, stamina to get the fuck away from them, or enough health to just take a hit or two and back
or
off.
Or the Tim Dunn method, summon someone else to fight for you and then shoot those spells at the
game. See, and you say you don't like online play, but that's exactly what it is,
what
only
you
you're using
do.
The NPCs.
Well, I got the dumb NPCs that the game provides. They're not
but,
great.
But how
but
much
Tim,
better is
so
going
to
feel
more.
When Clayton helps you?
Better. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot better.
Yeah, and also, I'm, you know, guys, I'm open to helping you however you want. And this goes out to everybody, like, listening, if they're like, that you want to know more about Dark Souls, you want to reach out to me, you know, like, just hit up the, hit up Kellen on Twitter.
He'll pass the message along. You want Clayton to pick you up from the airport. Like,
nope,
anything.
Hold on.
Just send
hey, I need
we're
tips.
Going completely off
I need
message
tips.
Now.
I'm coming back from Midway. I need some tips in a car.
Coach your improv
driving.
Team.
Yes. Coach your improv team. Exactly.
It's absolutely not interested in that. Yes. Tell you that right now.
Clayton, would love to do your podcast as well.
Nope. Medium I don't care for.
Folks, I have to split.
Yes.
But I'll leave you on this. Clayton, is Dark Souls a survival horror game?
Or
franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So all right. Thank you so much, Tim. I think it is, and it isn't. It isn't because it has tons of RPG stuff, and you can legitimately become too powerful in these games.
Yes.
But
that's what makes it a role-playing game, though. Like, you can grind so hard. You just grind that first level.
If you really wanted to.
Yeah.
But it would take so much time.
Yeah, but that's what grinding
not,
does. It's just about wasting time. And it's about, like, great, I'm going to put a podcast on. I'm going to tune out. And I know I'm just going to do this low-level stuff.
Absolutely. And that's...
Trump! All right, come on!
That's Tim Dunn leaving, everybody.
Dunn?
Yeah, but the nice thing, at least in the more recent iterations of Dark Souls, is that they've taken away a lot of the grinding element from it.
It seems that way. Yeah.
You can grind, and I do sort of. What I usually do is I drop down my summon sign so that people can summon me to their game, and then I help them and I get souls doing that. And it's also a low stress way to do it, because if you die, you just go back to your world. You don't lose any souls.
Yeah, that was my question. So like, yeah, those souls come with you?
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah. Why wouldn't you just do that all the time?
Like, well, exactly. I mean, they promote that because they want you to do that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
The problem will be is if you go to an area that's too tough, you will still get your ass kicked no matter what world you're in, yours or someone else's. So you do still have to learn the game and stuff like that. But it's a great way to explore levels.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really great way, I think, to get used to like how other people play the game, which helps you get ready for PvP a little bit.
Yeah, I'll say that. Like when Tim was still here, I was saying like playing with you, well, not playing with you, but getting summoned into someone else's world made me see a different side of Dark Souls.
Yes.
Be like, oh, this, the game is designed to make you feel alone, to make you feel sort of like desperate and like, no, this world is going to like beat you down. But it also, again, it's a positive message, as you had said before.
Absolutely,
on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you can do this. You can get past this. It's to encourage you and show you how good you can be. But when you see other people playing, suddenly it made me be like, oh, okay. And then I saw what they were doing and it made me go back and do those same levels by myself and then be like, oh, I can do this.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of people would say. It's sort of the like the bad conveyance and everything like that in the game. There's a belief out there. And I don't know how much of this I believe and how much I just sort of like, you know, I sort of nod my head at it and go like, okay, yeah, interesting idea. Because the problem with Dark Souls is the owner and creator is extremely reclusive.
Very much.
Really against like talking to the press and explaining the games. He doesn't like to do any of that stuff. As a lot of these, you know, fucking like, you know,
artists. I'm surprised that there are menus in English when I play the game.
Well, they didn't. It used to just be like nowadays you and that's I mean, it does sound a little bit like back in my day.
Yeah.
But in Demon Souls, nothing is explained.
Nothing.
Like there's stats that you have that you're like, I don't know what this does. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this affects. And your average Joe is going to take a look at it and close it and be like, I'm done. I'm not interested. Yeah. Then it's the sort of idea there is like, okay, well, why am I getting my ass kicked? I'm going to put another point into this thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it seems to be kind of helping, not with the thing I wanted, but with something else.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be all about that discovery and curiosity and stuff like that. I think Demon's Souls is not good at it in a bad way.
Yeah.
In a way that's like, this isn't artful. It's just frustrating.
Yeah. So, and again, talk me through this. A lot of times my hesitation with playing a game like Dark Souls or Bloodborne is the decisions I'm making in the game seem permanent. And I don't want to waste time, my physical time in the real life, on a build or on a way of thinking about the game that's going to be permanent. So it makes me say like, well, I don't have enough time in general. Why would I invest it in this way of being permanent? But as you were almost explaining, like, there are ways of respecting your character. How easy it is to do that?
So in Demon's Souls and Dark Souls, it's almost impossible. I think it actually is not something you can do on your playthrough. You just have to start a new playthrough.
Yeah.
Which, the games still push really hard for like, hey, you should just like go with whatever your decisions were. You should just have to live with them. NPCs, if you kill them, they do not, unless it's a scripted thing that like they come back as an undead, they don't come back. They you can really fuck yourself over.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
In these games as a result. But each playthrough is such a like sort of meant to be just like, this is just one playthrough.
Yes.
This is not, you don't just play it once. You're supposed to play it multiple times and things like that.
And the game scales with you that way, right?
Exactly. Yeah. If you do a new game plus it is so much harder.
Yeah.
I can't describe to you like how frustrated I have been on just like a new game plus, but then it gets incrementally less difficult, but it still gets more difficult every time.
Okay,
so the scale slides down.
Sure.
So it's like, say your new game plus is, it's not quite this, but it is twice as difficult.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Enemies have twice as much health as a new game.
Yeah.
Or yeah, just a regular new game. But then new game plus has, say, 1.7 times as much health, not two times as much.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like, it's still way harder than New Game Plus, but it's not as harder, as much harder as New Game Plus was
sure.
to New Game.
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes on from there. 1.5, 1.25, and eventually it's 1.1. You know, you're like, okay. Yeah. And that's when you're like New Game 7 pluses, and you're like, holy shit, why am I still playing this game? And I've never really even gotten to that point. And
there
I love
these
games.
A couple Twitch streamers who have done that before. I think Man vs. Game had 8 playthroughs at one point.
Yeah.
You know, and had like every single, like, and the role playing of that, because his character had gone through all these different things, because at each new playthrough,
right.
he made very, very different decisions. And that's really intriguing to me, but I worry for myself. I'm like, I don't know if I have the time or the ability
invest
that.
In 2 and 3, at least in 2, I haven't really messed around with respecking in 3. But in 2, you literally could just like get an item and respec your character.
Wow.
And it was like, okay, a lot of people didn't like that. Uh-huh. And I was like, you know, I'm going to try it. But the problem is always like your character now has to be the exact same level you just were. So you don't get slowly introduced to like mechanics and stuff how you normally would. So it's like, all right, well, now I'm trying to use this totally different character. It's really unwieldy and just... And also, unless you know what you're doing, you might respec it to be a total shit show. And then it's like, well, I use that item that I only can get once a playthrough. That's kind of fucked up, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think respecing more often than not is just like a couple of points here and there. And you can really change up your gameplay. Because the characters are luckily fluid enough that unless you go really deep after one build, you're not going to be too screwed up.
Yeah.
A lot of people do what's called a quality build. And what that is like, oh, you really put points into, you have to do like, you know, strength or, you know, not strength, excuse me. I think it's vigor in Dark Souls 3. Yeah. Normally it's vitality. Mm-hmm. It's just your health bar and your endurance bar.
Yes.
You got to do those.
And explain for people who don't understand why those two.
So as you go through the game, one of the big problems that you'll run into all the time is endurance management or stamina management. You have a stamina bar that will basically shrink every time you attack, if you block an attack, if you roll, if you even just sprint, if you cast a spell. I don't know if it works for casting spells in all the games, but most of the time, stamina is the thing you need to do anything.
Yes.
And stamina is only controlled usually by endurance. Endurance has no other place, I think, on the board except for stamina in almost every game. And it's that important of a stat. You can't ignore it. People have tried, and it's just like, I can get one attack, and that's it. You know, like, I'm fucked. And different weapons have different stamina, you know, costs. And, you know, if you wear armor, it costs more to do rolls. And if you're too heavily weighed down, your rolls are slower. There's a ton of stuff to manage in these games. But stamina is one of those things of, like, you can't ignore it. And you also can't ignore health because enemies take such a huge fucking chunk out of your health bar. Even just, like, when you're where you're supposed to be. You'll still lose a third of health from like a heavy attack if you don't block or you don't roll. You're like, oh man. So those are like the two stats I think everybody has to manage, unless you're a pure mage build in one of the early games. Mm-hmm. In which case, you know, you might as well just not play the game because it's too easy.
Exactly. But you can say that to Tim because he's not here.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I've done it. I've tried it because I was like, hey, this is kind of cool, but it's so counterproductive to like how the game is played that you really do feel like, oh man, this doesn't feel right. No. I tried it on Demon's Souls and I was you just feel very like, I'm just kind of walking through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And anytime there's a challenge, it's like, I don't know what to do because I haven't really played the game.
Yeah.
I haven't interacted with it on a level wants me to.
Yeah, interactive is the right, I think, way to kind of put it because it's the game is about those characters getting up in your face. For one thing is how do you deal with that? But then two, it's like if you're playing a mage character, and this is no shade on Tim or anybody else who chooses to do that, but like part of the game is seeing the attention to detail these characters are. And like, you know, when you're playing a boss who's like up in your grill, just fucking you up, getting thrown around, like if you're playing a mage build and you're just running away from them or cheesing them and just being as far away as possible, it's like there is a part of the game that you are missing.
Exactly. Right? And I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, a lot of people will do a hybrid build where it's like, I use spells to draw them in, or, you know, I'm always using a longbow.
Sure.
And like, except for in Bloodborne, where I would just use my gun.
Yeah.
And Bloodborne's kind of the exception to the rule on some of this stuff.
Well, let's talk about Bloodborne in a second, because they're very, very different types of games.
They are, and yet there's so much stuff that's like, this is the same type of game.
Yeah.
It's just an iteration of that game with so much that's changed and so much that's, like, in some ways, I think, done better. That honestly, it is a little bit like, I went back and played a little Bloodborne the other night after playing a ton of Dark Souls 3, and I was like, oh man, like, yeah, I do wish, like, I could do this thing. You know, I do wish my character was just a little bit faster like it is in Bloodborne, but... I think, again, those are mechanics that are so cool and so interesting that I just want to see them more.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
You know, stuff like that with how fast your characters are, how fast enemies are, huge. And it does make you go back to Dark Souls 1, and it feels slow as fuck. Like, enemies are just like, the windup is insane. And you're like, oh, man, it's because I'm spoiled by Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. Or really, I'm... Maybe the opposite. I'm just too challenged by it.
Well, I mean, and then it could also just be, I mean, Dark Souls 1, I've not played through all of it, but it's like, it is a testament to what that system could do. You know, it's like, I'm sure somebody will go and say, hey, we want to remaster Dark Souls, you know, 1 or Demon's Souls and put it on a new console, and it'll be smooth, and it will play completely differently, because it's like the constraints of the PS3 and the 360 compared to what... Bloodborne or Dark Souls 3.
It's not even close.
It's not even close, you know?
Yeah, no, I've also thought about that. And I run Dark Souls on a high-end PC, and I've tried it with mods and stuff like that. And it's all great. But honestly, the vanilla game is just enough.
Yeah.
It really is. Yeah. Because they stretched it to its absolute limit. The one thing I will say about the original Demon's Souls is that and this is something that Dark Souls 3 does a little bit of, but Dark Souls 1 didn't do hardly at all.
Sure.
And most of the games have gotten away from this, but each level is kind of its own zone.
Yeah.
So you go back to your hub, and your hub, you know, you just have these different areas that you go to, and those are the levels, and that's just kind of how it works.
Yeah.
This is Demon's Souls, mind you, so they were still figuring out the system, but those worlds that you went to, as far as I know, and I haven't played all of Demon's Souls, I'm sad to say. Yeah. I've always meant to go back and play it, but I like the other games
more.
No
judgment here. No judgment here.
The original Demon's Souls, you couldn't go from one zone to the other.
You
had to go back to the hub and then go to whichever zone. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine, but now the games are really sort of like making a big name for themselves in how well the worlds are interconnected.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, you'll be in one part of Dark Souls 3 and be like, man, I am really fucking lost. And then turn a corner and you open a door and you're back in a place you've been 100 times.
And you never realize that.
The other side of the world, as far as you're concerned, you're like, holy shit, I didn't realize I was looping back so much.
Yeah, and that's why if Tim was still here, I would actually push back against the idea of a survival horror. And in the sense where it's like, well, it is, but it's also an open world game that way.
Yeah.
You know, because the open world allows you to go where you want to go and do what you want to do and play it the way you want to play that way. If you want to kill the NPCs, it's allowing you to do that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There are consequences.
Very
for
open,
it, you know?
Oof, yeah.
And there are optional bosses in that game that you would, if you were just playing normally, you would never encounter. But the game is encouraging to explore and to kind of find these other sort of things.
Exactly.
That way, you know?
And I think there's a lot of praise heaped on the game for, like, you know, interesting level design, all the games really, but Dark Souls, the original Dark Souls, Bloodborne, and Dark Souls 3, I think, do this incredibly well of just like, I can't believe it, but I'm standing on top of an area I saw from across the
map
when I started the game.
Yeah.
And you feel like it. You really do feel like I have trudged across this world. I've, like, left bodies in my wake. I don't know how I did it.
Yeah.
I still look back at the original Dark Souls, and especially, like, how bad I was at it starting out. And I'm like, I don't know how I beat that game. But that was the same feeling I had when I beat it. Was, like, I didn't go, like, yeah, fuck yeah, I did it. I was like, I literally don't believe it's over.
Yeah.
I can't have been... the one to do all that. So, and yet were.
Yeah.
You're the same guy who was hiding behind the shield at the beginning. It's just you learned a little bit better how to hide behind the shield. You learned a little bit more like when you can get out and like get a quick hit in. And you, it just it challenges you to actually like find that in yourself and in your character and in the game.
Sure.
Rather than sort of like, you know, hey, here's, you know, here's a big old boss. Here's a big ass gun. Shoot the boss with the gun. Yeah. And now you're done. You know, I don't know. I have a lot of like, oh, feelings about it.
That's good though. I mean, imagine that, a game that made you feel something beyond a scripted narrative, you know, because all of that feeling is inside of you. You're applying that resonance to the game. But there's a big criticism with Dark Souls in Bloodborne in general about like the games don't really end. They just sort of fizzle out. Like there's not like a big climax, as you were saying,
right?
A la like, you know, Arkham Asylum or something, where it's like, well, there is a big boss fight, but the end is not like we put a bow on it. It just kind of it closes the way it opens, you know, kind of in confusion. I mean, what have the games that you have finished, what have the endings been like beyond, I can't believe that I'm here?
So the original Dark Souls definitely felt great.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert on an old game.
Please.
But you have to like defeat boss after boss after boss, and you're collecting their souls to open up the way to the like final bonfire.
Sure.
And also to the like last lord. I forget what they've all got these fucking stupid names in every game. But he's basically like the guy who was the heir to fire before you, who like kept the world alive, kept it lit, but eventually went crazy as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, cool. So I'm going to fight my way to him, beat him, become the new heir to the fire, and keep the world longer in flame, or douse that flame and let the world basically plunge into darkness and doom it to this fate forever.
Yes.
And even if you do decide, hey, I'm going to keep it alive, it's like, it's basically like you die and the world gets like maybe a few years.
Maybe.
And hopefully someone else comes along and does the same thing, which is sort of a little bit of it is the like narrative reason of like, this is why you basically start back over and you're like, oh, holy shit, I didn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have to go do it all again.
Yes.
And it's a sad kind of fucked up the cycle of, you know, like accomplishment is always met with like, you know, well, great job, but now you just have to do something else.
Yeah, and then
right?
you too probably start descending into madness as you realize, boy, I never can truly save the world.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And that there's a lot of like poetic stuff to that, but the buildup of walking up this hill to where you know the final boss is, and along the way are these like Black Knights who the whole game have been like the scourge of your existence.
Yes.
I think it's Black Knights or Silver Knights or some shit.
Yeah.
But these tough knights who you've fought before, but it's like, oh man, I gotta fight like three or four of these guys just to get to the boss. But because at this point you're so much more powerful, you're just like, I remember just carving through these knights like they were nothing and being like, oh man, I can do this. Yeah. Like, it really does have this moment of like, I think I can take this guy. And you go in there and you get your ass kicked. Or you beat his ass or whatever happens. But the biggest letdown for a lot of people is like, it's just some guy. And it's like, no, that's the thing is, it's just another guy like you who was like, I can't believe I did this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I got to this point. And now it's you and him.
Yeah.
And you fight and you can parry all of his attacks just like a PvP fight. You know, it's all kind of like.
That's great. Yeah, yeah.
It all feels very much like I'm playing another Heir of Fire. I'm playing another person like me. And when you beat him, you feel like, oh, wow, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I beat, like, me. You know, like,
it's not a giant monster like you
rival.
Would expect. Yeah.
Yeah, I beat, like, the person who also probably was like, you know, I can't believe I'm coming up this hill, killing these knights, no problem.
Yeah.
But they're just as powerful as you are, more powerful probably. But I've talked to people who are like, they could parry that final boss and just like kill him in like two hits.
Wow.
And it's like, and that must be disappointing.
Yeah.
Unless you see it from the perspective of like, but he could do the same thing to you, right?
Yeah.
Anybody has the capacity to do that to each other in this game. excuse me. Dark Souls 2, way more of a weird ending.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe more people have just played Dark Souls 2 than Dark Souls 1, just
yeah.
because it was there was already so much hype around Dark Souls, or Dark Souls 2 came out, and that ending, I think, sticks in people's craw a little bit more than Dark Souls 1 then.
Well, everything about Dark Souls 2 is a little bit like, what the fuck? You know, it's just like, and only because it followed Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And, like, it's another place where you have a hub, but... which you kind of have in Dark Souls, but yeah. not really. And not to the extent that you have it in the other games. In Dark Souls 2, you have a hub. You have a woman you have to talk to level up. You can't just level up at any bonfire.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, that's fine. It's more like Demon Souls. That's fine. And then you just slowly start to like uncover stuff about the game. There's way more characters.
Yeah.
I think I came across like... way more characters in that game than all the other games combined.
Because
it's just like every time you turn a corner, it's another person. And also, bonfires are everywhere.
Yeah.
And it honestly is, it's easy to get lost because it's like, fucking hell, I've just lit a bonfire like 5 seconds ago.
Yeah, it's subverting your expectations of what it's supposed to be. At that
yeah,
point,
and it, I think a lot of people were like, it feels more streamlined. Mm-hmm. And the story is also a Souls game, so there's not a ton of story there. But it feels like kind of a rehash of the original Dark Souls, except they throw in some like dragons and shit that I didn't understand. I sound like I'm down on Dark Souls 2.
No,
I played a ton of it.
Yeah.
I just don't, I don't know. Like, it didn't hold up as well
as
the
other
ones.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
But the ending is like one of the most confusing fucking things. So people have talked about this, how like there's this king who is like wandering around like a crazy person in like his basement.
Uh-huh.
You don't even have to fight him. You can just kind of like walk around him and you're like, but he's sort of the badass that you're supposed to beat. And you're like, okay, well, that was really strange. He's like half
yeah.
naked, just wandering around with a giant sword in his basement, just a crazy person. And you're like, you can fight him, but you don't really have to. And I was like, okay, that was kind of strange. And then it's like, now you get his whatever is, you know, like key or whatever.
Sure.
And now you go into this room and you have to fight the queen because the queen is like evil, I guess. And if it weirdly like relied on you to care more about the lore
yeah.
than some of the other games. And I feel like that was honestly its biggest mistake because
yeah,
it's just like, and now the queen is coming in. She's going to fuck you up. And it's like, why? What is she? What does anyone care about any
yeah,
of this stuff?
Yeah.
And it's very, it just doesn't hold together really well. And also that boss fight is like a joke. You just mm-hmm. you could stand behind the queen and smack her basically the entire fight and you win, and you're like, okay, that was pretty easy, unaccomplished, you know, kind of feeling. And then you walk up to a throne, if you choose to do that. I'm sure there's other variations, but I just remember you walk up to a throne, sit on the throne, and then like these doors close in front of you, and that's the end. And it's like,
hmm.
All right, man. Like, I guess I'm the king now.
I guess?
It doesn't have as clear a purpose. And not saying, you know, any of these games have a good story, but that was one where I was just like, I really don't understand, and I actively don't care.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of the article, but there's this great article talking about Dark Souls 2, Knights of the Old Republic 2, and Metal Gear Solid 2 as these three games that are following opuses of a game that are completely subverting what you're supposed to be thinking.
Yeah.
And those are three games that most people say, I hate those games. I hate Dark Souls 2. I hate Knights of the Old Republic 2. I hate Metal Gear 2. But when you look at them as standalone games or as a reaction to what's happening with the games that they precede, you start to understand so much more about like, well, yeah, they don't hold up to what the original games were, but as commentary about what gaming is doing,
exactly.
they have this whole different sort of meta level that way. And that's what it sounds like. Like Dark Souls was such a an imprint on you versus Dark Souls 2, where it's like, we're going to push this. We're going to tell you how to play this game that's going to be very different from your last experience.
Exactly. And I think my biggest issue at the end of the day with Dark Souls 2, and I played a ton of it. I really enjoyed like the DLC they released.
Yeah.
I liked all that stuff a lot. But the level design and the enemy design is so inferior. And I don't mean this as like a, you know, like it's an easy game, but every boss is like a big guy with armor on and it just kind of gets boring. And then the final boss is like you know, the queen who just kind of stands there and shoots magic at you, and you're like, all right. It's there's a lot of lazy kind of choices in it. There's a lot of great stuff too. There's a fucking fight where there's just this like carriage like driven by like these undead horses that's like ripping around this hallway trying to kill you. And it's one of the craziest things in the world. And I love it, but that's an optional boss. You know, it's like it feels like they didn't want to do that as like a main quest.
That feels more like a Zelda boss to me. Like
it was pretty strange.
It was just like, this is very odd. Very, very strange.
There's a there's also a puzzle boss in the original Dark Souls, which is like my least favorite boss by far. Because it's just like, go hit this thing, go hit this thing, go hit this thing, and you won. And it's fine for a first time, but like when you're replaying, you're like, oh God, I don't want to go do that again.
One of my favorite Souls slash Bloodborne bosses is from Bloodborne, and it's the Invisible Witch. That's an incredible boss because
that's a great boss.
It's a great boss because if you've never played Bloodborne, it's very different from Dark Souls in the sense where it's like Dark Souls, it's like, what can you take? And I feel like Bloodborne's like, what can you dish? How quick can you be? How fast can you hurt people?
Because
you're going to take, you're going to hurt, but it's about doing something faster and more to someone else.
The boss fight there, too, is also like, it takes a legitimate amount of skill. I've done that boss fight a thousand times at this point. I've helped everyone with it. I love it. It's a great fight. But it's not just a puzzle. It's also like, you know, you got to be quick and you got to pay attention and you got to like, you know, really know the map too. You know, the, sometimes the witch will be in weird spots. Like she can get up higher than you at times.
And you're like, what?
And it's great.
It's a great boss to show you. It's like, this game is about teaching you something. And there are different stages and all the different bosses have stages. But that was a boss where I was like, oh, if I was going to write a paper on video game design, that's the boss you write it on in terms of like, here's everything about Bloodborne and now try and apply it to this thing and about how you're supposed to learn and how you're supposed to get there, and the easier ways to get there and the easy ways to take it on as an optional boss.
I am reminded of in the original Dark Souls, the boss fight, I still got like, I still think about this boss fight and I get like weird chills over it. Is the Moonlight Butterfly?
I don't know that one.
So if you go really deep into this like haunted forest, and this forest is like, I think one of the craziest, coolest areas in the game, and it's there are these giant mushroom dudes walking around that I went by, and my girlfriend was like, you know, like, oh, they're cute, and I'm like, you just, I gotta stay the fuck away from them though. They fuck you up bad, because. They're really tough. But there's a bunch of great stuff in there. There's like this giant hydra. There's a giant cat that will talk to you and help you join a covenant. There's also my another one of my favorite fights, which is this big ass wolf with a sword in its mouth. Which is actually, people say that's a reference to I think it's Symphony of the Night, the Castlevania game.
They're
like,
okay,
it's supposed to be, and other people have said it's sort of the historic, like if you could take that game and make it 3D, would be a Dark Souls game. I think that's
your
really
Metroidvania
cool.
style game.
You got, you just so much stuff in there. But if you go to this one decrepit, like just crumbling tower, you get up onto this bridge and this beautiful, like serene looking butterfly, enormous butterfly, of course, but it's like, it's the, it's really truly a beautiful boss, and you feel like it's not like dangerous. It seems so peaceful and so wonderful. And then it starts shooting shit at you, and you're like, oh my God, this is the craziest boss ever.
That's cool.
It's not a terribly hard fight because it will come up to the bridge and you can get hits with a melee weapon. But I think the thing about it that's so disturbing is it's like flying around you the whole time so slowly that it, and it goes from this beautiful thing with this like, and there's a high pitched like singing the entire time that is either diegetic or non-diegetic. Know. I've always thought it was the butterfly. Just
I think it's
singing
diegetic. It seemed like it would be the right thing to say.
Oh man. And it, It hits really hard. It is extremely scary. Like, it just takes such a, like, sinister turn.
Sure.
But it doesn't change at all.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, dude.
Yeah. And it's just, like, you don't see that in Dark Souls 2, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And in Dark Souls 3, they have these weird angel things. I don't think you've seen them yet.
No, no.
Those things are fucking terrifying and creepy. And, like, and they're just, like, monsters. They're flying around, and you see them everywhere. But most of them don't interact with you because they're just kind of flying around. And yeah. I'm like, oh, man. Like, that's such a cool enemy design.
Yeah.
Yeah. And compare that to, like, you know, big guy with armor on, and you're like, eh.
Well, Clayton, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Tim,
hey, no problem.
Obviously, if he was here, he would be so thankful for you.
I'm just glad. I'm thankful Tim did not get us sick,
oh,
I hope.
Yet. We don't know. Yeah. He put a lot of that terrible smelling white. What is that?
Hand sanitizer?
Hand sanitizer. I was going to say deodorant in my mind. Maybe I am sick. Maybe he's already gotten me sick.
He's already gotten to you. Oh, God. And I'm next.
Clayton, you have anything you want to plug?
Late 90s, Wednesdays at 10:30. Come check it out. It's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I recently found out there's something you can say at the box office to get free tickets.
Oh, yeah. What's this thing?
You want to kind of shuffle up.
Sure, sure.
Look sheepish.
Very sheepish.
And say, hey, I think Clayton was supposed to get me a comp.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're like Clayton, who would be like, Clayton Margeson?
I think that's how you see his last name.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could say Margeson in if you want to.
Sure, sure, sure.
To sell it. But just know that's not how it's pronounced.
Yeah, yeah. Dan McAvoy's back from being on a little trip, right?
Yeah, Dan McAvoy's coming back. We've got Vince Portacci is currently on paternity leave.
Very nice. So
you won't have to see Vince, but you will get to see Dan. So
okay.
If that is to your taste, you should definitely come out this Wednesday.
Awesome. I am not currently in the show because I had to take a break. But a show that I wrote a few years ago called It's Christmas, Goddammit, is at the Annoyance. You can go see it Saturdays at 8 o'clock. I believe it's $20. Maybe it's less. I don't know. It's a great show.
Hey, it's worth $20.
Definitely worth $20. I am not in the show, but it's a great cast. Charlie Carroll always does a good job directing it. And the funny and talented Tim Herlin is taking on my role this year.
Oh, so, Tim Herlin.
Yeah, he'd be very good there. I'm sure Tim would want to plug his show, 15 Minutes with Lincoln, a show that is now continuing after the election.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I didn't.
I didn't either.
I don't think they knew either.
Well, you know, they've made a decision, though.
They have.
You can't fault them for that.
The same way we as a country have made a decision.
Sobering. Yes. Sobering thought there at the end.
Clayton, why don't you take us out with one of your catchphrases?
Now, how does this part work? I am so sorry.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Yep. Excuse me. Right. Okay. You have
I'm just
to,
a guest on this.
Yeah, you're a guest. Usually, we would cut to our other host, and he would give us a catchphrase at the end of the show. Something very kind of nonsensical, maybe a callback to a character from before, but some kind of a note at the end to kind of remind people that we're gonna get through this together.
Okay. All right. I'll give it a try.
Yeah, just,
I don't care for that.
Thanks, everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. If you'd like to help make more things like this, please visit patreon.com/nerdalogs to donate today, and go to www.nerdalogs.com for more cool stuff. Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.